This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
On the road.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. For President Obama today, it is politics taken straight to the people, to a town hit hard by the economic fallout. And the debate centers square on a behemoth economic stimulus package that's before the Senate. A vote is expected soon. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us now to talk about the trip. Jeremy, where's everyone headed today?
Well, Steve, they're going to Elkhart, Indiana, the Washington of the West, at least for today. The president is going there to sell his stimulus plan directly to the American people. A little bit about Elkhart. It has a much higher unemployment rate than the rest of the U.S. The mayor there saying it could be as high as 20%. The president's going to arrive there for a town hall meeting at noon. The tickets, I'm told, sold out in about an hour on Saturday. Tomorrow, the president is going to Fort Myers, Florida, which is one of the home foreclosure capitals of the country. And, of course, all of this is to build support and show those politicians in Washington what he's able to do with his bully pulpit in terms of getting this stimulus passed.
So we have stimulus package before the Senate, of course. Where does it stand right now there?
Well, there's going to be a key vote on the Senate version tonight. Now, that Senate version is pretty close at this point to the House version, about $827 billion. And it looks like, with three Republicans signing on, that it will be able to pass the Senate, the key vote this afternoon, and then the final vote on the Senate package tomorrow.
Jeremy, if I'm not mistaken, we were supposed to hear about the bank bailout, the second half of those TARP funds from Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. What happened with all of that?
Well, it's difficult to focus on more than one multi-hundred-billion-dollar plan at one time, and so that has been delayed so that the focus can remain on the stimulus package. That announcement by Mr. Geithner has been put off until tomorrow. The word is that there will be more capital injections into banks and no final word on the idea of that bad bank that would take on the troubled assets, but we'll find out tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joining us from New York. Jeremy, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
By the way, it's another red letter or red number day for an automaker in Japan. Nissan reports its first loss in nearly a decade and will cut 8.5% of its workforce. That's 20,000 jobs. The news sent Japanese shares down, although Asian markets were mixed overall. The Nikkei closed lower by 1.3%. The Hang Seng had a small gain. In Europe, London is riding higher this morning by more than 1%. Frankfurt and Paris are lower. Despite some lousy unemployment figures that came out Friday, the Dow gained more than 200 points, more than 2.5%. S&P stocks gained as well, and so did the NASDAQ.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers. And by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting Women Heart and its efforts to address the number one killer of women in the United States, heart disease. MedtronicFoundation.org.
Many small business owners want to see the government change how it does business with them. Over the past 6 years, more than a dozen federal investigations show billions of dollars earmarked for the little guy were diverted to corporate giants. From Washington, Ronnie Radbill reports.
Small business advocates say the government's giant bailout does nothing to address contracting fraud and abuse. The government is legally required to award 23% of its contracts to small companies. Those are defined as independently owned and operated firms with up to 500 employees. Lloyd Chapman is president of the American Small Business League. He says instead, most of the business goes to the big guys.
You can imagine what happens when you pull $100 billion a year out of the middle class economy, where all the jobs are created, where most Americans work, and divert that money to Fortune 500 corporations that are shipping jobs overseas.
In one investigation, the Interior Department's Inspector General discovered small business contracts were finding their way to companies like Xerox, Dell, and Lockheed. In other cases, big corporations bought small firms and then kept their contracts. Dan Fahey owns a small IT consulting company in Rockville, Maryland.
He who has the power has the ability to get it. And what happens is that it's one of those things that's hard to prove, but you see it happening in front of you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
The corporations say they never intentionally diverted work from small companies. The U.S. Small Business Administration is responsible for the accuracy of the contracts. A spokeswoman there says sometimes errors in contracts are overlooked, but she says the agency is fixing the problem. Congressman Lynn Westmoreland is a small businessman from Georgia. He sits on the House Small Business Committee. Westmoreland says Congress needs to take a closer look at how the government prepares its contracts.
Sometimes they put together a contract that's so large that a small business can't do it.
He says SBA oversight, together with loosening up tight credit, are critical to small businesses.
I've got small businesses that are going bankrupt every day. Until we get the credit down to those small business guys and somebody's hometown, I don't think the economy's going to ever straighten out.
Small business owners echo that sentiment. They caution if it's business as usual in Washington, more jobs will be lost and small companies will continue to fail. In Washington, I'm Ronnie Radbill for Marketplace.
Finally, do greener and more socially responsible companies outperform their peers? That's what a new study out today seems to suggest from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk. Here's Sarah Gardner.
The global consulting firm A.T. Kearney admits it's the first time they've done this sort of comparison, so they're not prepared to make any grand conclusions. But here's what they found. They looked at 99 companies listed on sustainability stock indices. In this case, sustainability includes everything from corporate energy conservation to community work. Then they compared those companies' stock market performances with their industry peers.
We found over the six-month period that sustainable companies, in terms of stock price, outperformed their peers that are considered less sustainable by about 15%.
Outperformers included Toyota, BASF, and Walt Disney, among others. A.T. Kearney's Michael Wise theorizes that more sustainable companies are successful because they focus on long-term strategy rather than short-term profits and have strong programs to manage risk. Well, maybe most of them. Struggling Citigroup was among the 11 banks deemed sustainable. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Hope you can join us online. For more information, marketplace.org, the website address in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.